few months ago, God spoke to me about this email that came in my inbox. And I get a lot of emails, you know, from different people, different things, different organizations maybe, stuff, you know, talking about activities to volunteer in or be a part of, or schools and all sorts of things, you know. I'm trying to limit my email so that I don't get, you know, an overload. But I guess a lot of the overload goes into the junk box, thankfully, so that's good. Keeps my inbox more free. But there was this email that came out from, it was kind of an International House of Prayer, IHOP thing in Kansas, as well as a YWAM, Youth with the Mission. And maybe people are more familiar with Youth with the Mission than the IHOP stream. But God's been doing something the last couple of years in wanting to bring them together at a whole new level, to where there's a marriage or a joining of those that spend hours and hours in worship and prayer and those that spend hours and hours in mission, in reaching out to the poor, the lost, in many different ways that YWAM encounters people throughout the whole earth. And they started up something, and it's a fairly new thing. It's called Fire and Fragrance. It's a school in YWAM that has to do with, we're only able to effectively reach out to people and reflect Jesus to them when we constantly have Jesus as our first love. Like when you, like a lot of us, when we first got saved, we're like, whoa, this is incredible. I was like in this little, you know, closet with all these clothes on me in my life, and now I'm Jesus, and I'm in the light, I feel free, I feel lighter, and there's that first love that's kindled and alive in you. And, you know, a lot of us, we sing songs, we do different things, oh yes, please light the fire again, you know, going back and so forth to those days, or other, maybe other days, to where we were more on fire for the Lord and in love with Him. And so Fire and Fragrance was partly developed to realize that this is kindled in a place of worship, in a place of intercession, and a place to where we spend even extended times putting our eyes on Jesus. And so it was a school they developed to be able to do that. And it wasn't just for that end, to be able to just be in a place to where you're just worshiping and singing and laying out on your face before God, you know, for hours on end, but to be encountered by Him, to be transformed by Him, for His love to fill you. And as His love fills you, His love is always going places, and it moves us, right? Love is a verb, as there was a song sung years ago. And, you know, it's not like, I just love you, and you just stand there, right? There's always that reaching out, or there's that giving, or that helping. Somehow that love is made manifest. And so God was doing that in this school, and the focus was then to go into missions on a whole new level, to be able to release the power of God, to see miracles, to see far more salvations as they've worshipped, as they've been more in touch with the Lord, to then be able to go out into that. And for them not only to do it there at their base in Hawaii, or there's been a few others now, but for students to be trained up and to say, where will you go? Where will you go in the earth that there is very little light of God? There is very little representation and revelation of Jesus Christ, and begin to do this, what we've been doing in those communities. You know, and here we have someone that's so awesome, Cindy Hebert amongst us, that's going to a place in the Middle East, and she's going to be not so much joined to what that is about, but she is going to release the light and the love of God through, through various activities as a mission group. And it's a place, you know, basically where there's no church, there's no almost no Christians, if any, in that area, in that community. And so it's just an incredible thing that she is going, but that this school was raised up for that. And so in the midst of them just worshiping and going that and thinking of the nations in the far part, God spoke to them and said, hey, what about North America? What about my heart for North America? Because there they were, and they're, you know, go-go. Most of them are Americans and stuff, looking out and seeing, wow, all these people, you know, we have so much gospel coming every which way. What about my people in America? And so they began to respond to the Lord in that. And through several different supernatural even confirmations. They started this school called School of the Circuit Rider. So last year they did the first one, this year they did five. And as I saw the email come in, at first I was like, what? You know, Circuit Rider, whatever, it's a Western thing or something, you know. But I began to look into it more and just realized they were wanting to take whoever would come for 2 weeks and impart into them a serious heart and a love for the Lord, and to be able to align themselves with the activities of God in reaching people, in reaching nations, in reaching unreached people groups. And that God was wanting to release a revival in North America that hasn't been seen for hundreds of years. And so they said, okay, we're gonna do this, you know. And so they ran one last year, and they ran five this year. And as I saw the email, the one for Kansas, my heart just began to cry. You know, something within me, deep in me, just said, oh, you know, that is my desire. That is something that I really would want to be a part of. A lot of other stuff. You know, when we all see stuff, we mentally go, oh, yeah, that'd be cool, this or that course or camp or activity. But this something, I just read it, and I thought, whoa, this looks good, you know, and then I just had to stop and just weep before the Lord. So I realized, whoa, you know, there's something here that's so rich, and I'm only seeing a few words on a page, but it's striking something deep within me. And so I began to talk to Tenny about it, and in the end, it all worked out, and I was able to go down for those 2 weeks. And so I just got back last Sunday, and it was an incredible time spent down there. There were 350 people that came. A lot of them were Americans, a few of us Canadians, so it was great to connect with some of the Canadians, some of the Canucks, and no one from Manitoba, but Ontario, Saskatchewan, Edmonton, BC, you know, from all the other provinces, for whatever reason. We started out the whole time, or our whole time, with the word that God wants to send revival, but he first has to revive our hearts. He needs to set us aflame to be able to go out and to be able to ignite a passion in us that's transferable, that's releasable, that we understand more of who God is and his desire, Glenn, and his desire, and that through that we're able to break out beyond a lot of the little walls and the little securities and the little things that we've kind of built up in our life, built up in our Christian life, and to say, oh yeah, this is good, you know, whatever, and yet where's the fire? Where's that passion? Where's that burning within our hearts for him and the things of him, to where Jesus becomes our obsession? We become obsessed with Jesus. And it's just like, whoa, wait a minute, what about all the rest of life? Obsessed with Jesus. And it's just like, okay, you know, that was kind of the opening to our time there. We're like, where are we going to go on our 2 weeks? You know, this is going to be crazy. And the first session that we had to do with unbelief. How much unbelief we have in our hearts as to who God is, as to what his word says, and to his design for our life, for being believers, and his heart. You know, and so we went through all these different sessions, and that was just one. You know, there was other things of shame. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's like, how many of us are just freely share it? No, we don't, because we kind of pull back. We don't just talk to people all the time about it, because there's just, you know, different reasons. And so that was one. And passivity was another one. We've been passive. We haven't been engaged, you know, in our love for the Lord, in reading his word, in pursuing him, as well as then revealing that love and that life to those around us. It hasn't been a passion. It's been something we'll do if we could, or if we can, or if we can make time. And so we just had tons of opportunities for joyful, we called it joyful repentance. And to where we sang about it, we did it, and we engaged in it. And together in groups, small groups, you know, we would just repent of these things, you know, as at the top of our lungs. You know, there was lots of energy flowing, you know, and that's where a little bit, you know, I was reflecting in my time here this morning, you know, it's like, let's do this from someplace deep within us. You know, we need to engage. We need to come alive into things, because, you know, you see sports games, people come alive or otherwise they're whatever. And so to begin to come alive in Jesus, in the passion and the fire that is there in him, and he's in us, so we need to begin to repent and then begin to walk in that and to release that through our in and through our lives. And so, yeah, we sang about joyful repentance. It's so awesome because, God, where you're taking us. You know, we're no longer going to walk like this, but we're going to walk like this. And the key to the repentance was four R's that we came up with. The first R is repentance. And this goes for all levels of whatever God would show you in your life that he wants to bring you into. And it can be for a non-believer that needs Jesus or whoever. The four R's is first is repent of your sin, of whatever it is that's going on. You just say, you know, I repent, it's wrong, and whatever. And then two is receive. The very next thing is receive the forgiveness of the Lord. So repent first and then receive. You receive that forgiveness and that acceptance and that love from the Lord. The third R is rebuke, where to rebuke the enemy, because the enemy has been working, obviously. The moment you're in sin, boom, it's like flies on an old egg or flies on a old burger at the park and wasps. You just see them, right? They just go on it. And sin, the devil just comes right in and begins to get, yeah, yeah, isn't this great, you know? And he might not so much influence you to make you do it, but he says, isn't this great? Isn't this who you are? Isn't this, he just says all this junk and deception. You know, just like there was Adam and Eve right in the garden, and it's like, oh, look at that apple. And right away he's whispering, oh, doesn't it look good? It's red. It's redder than all the other apples. Don't you see how red it is? It is so awesome. And he just began to feed and impress, right? So anyways, in our own lives, there's stuff like that that engage us in stuff that keep us in sin, keep us in habits and patterns that God just says, no, it's time for a shift to come because I want you radically following me. Yeah, time for a shift. And so the third was rebuke. So we rebuke that devil. We say, you know, devil of fear, for fear. You know, after we repented of it, we receive forgiveness, we say, fear, I rebuke you, spirit of fear, be gone, right? You're out of my life, no more. And you just say, you just rebuke it verbally, out loud, with tenacity towards it. And then the fourth is replacement. So after you've repented, you've received forgiveness, you've rebuked the devil, you've rebuked the enemy, the fourth is replacement. And so now it's time to replace. That area is now clean, it's ready to receive what it is that the Lord has. And we know that the word says what regarding fear? Just as an example, God's not given me a spirit of fear, and so we confess that. God, you know, let's all say it together right now. Yeah, I'll say it, and then we'll all say it together. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound and disciplined mind. Okay, let's all say that together. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound and disciplined mind. Yeah, that's the replacement. And so that's something that you might have to just have even as a card or something with you if that's been a struggle or issue in your life, and to not just a one-time thing, but begin to affirm that and develop that in your own heart from the Word of God, from the power that is there, that desires that this is the new me. This is who I'm going to be. I'm going to walk in the love and power and a sound mind. Because a fearful mind is not sound, right? You've seen people that are afraid, right? At times, you've seen yourself that's afraid sometimes. You don't make very good choices always. You're not grounded. And God desires us to always be grounded in Him. And so, yeah, the four R's were huge that we went through again and again on a lot of different things. And so then there was a point in our week where we said, all right, here we are. You know, we went through the gospel. What is the gospel? You know, and here I'll touch on it for a moment. The gospel is what? It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And we are not to be ashamed of it. Kind of paraphrasing Romans 1:16. So we had broke off shame. Jesus took that shame. He died for that. He was ashamed so that we wouldn't have to be. He was shamed on the cross. Excuse me, so we wouldn't have to be. He took it. So it's the power of God. And so we talked about that. We got to get out the simple gospel because the simple gospel is so powerful. You know, people think of God as, you know, they have this huge idea about who God is or who the church is or who Jesus is. And a lot of people, it's like, do you know what the simple gospel is? Have you heard that before? Have you gotten it to realize this is it? This is where it begins. This is the source. And so we began to engage with each other and began to preach to each other for 30 seconds or a minute, you know, the gospel. And we all got chances to practice and train up in that. And then we hit the road to malls, parks. People went to rich areas, poor areas, downtown, all over the place. There was like 400 of us that just went boom in vans all over Kansas. And it was incredible, our time as we went out in groups. And like our very first time, we went to a mall, and our group of about, was it 15, 20 of us, we saw 12 salvations and two or three miracles that took place as we saw people and said, you know, have you ever encountered God's love? You know, have you ever been born again? Do you know who Jesus is? And it's like we just began to hit people in the mall, and so much that security came over and said, hey guys, you know, what are y'all doing here? But it was great. God was just working and moving, you know. Amongst even, there was these youth that were sitting at a table, and this one guy had just finished his meal with this other partner that he was with, and he said, hey, it was a bunch of young people, like 15-year-olds or 13-year-olds, whatever. How do you say it? Something like, I'm a lover of Jesus, and there was a person with a kind of a cast thing, and he said, if Jesus was to heal this person, would you guys all believe? If he was to touch this injury here, would you all believe that God is real and that Jesus loves you? And they were kind of like, yeah, possibly, or yes, or whatever. So he said, let's pray, and he just prayed, you know, and the person just felt a tinkling and a warmth and all of that right there in the food cafeteria at the mall. And they were just going like, whoa, they're like, I'm feeling something, you know, it's feeling better, you know, it's not feeling, so I don't know how much of a cast and stuff, but they felt a real presence of the Lord on their arm. And all the other youth were like, whoa, that's wild, you know. And so then they said, like, it's like, okay, God touched him. God's releasing his love to him right here in this moment. Do you guys want to come more into more of that love that he has for you? And he just relayed the simple gospel, you know, that Jesus Christ came from heaven, and that he lived a sinless life, and that he died on the cross so that you could be forgiven. He took your sins, and he rose up again so that you can have life, you know, eternal, and life in this life. And he promised his Holy Spirit, you know, to come, his Spirit to live in you and be upon you. You know, in just a few moments, just released the gospel on them and said, you know, do you want Jesus to bless you and to fill you and to leave your life and come into all the goodness that he has? You know, they just released some quick words, and they were like, yeah, yeah, we want it. So about four of them prayed right there in that moment. The person that had been healed and the other ones, there was only one person that was kind of standing off, you know, and then they said, wow, you know, do you guys have Bibles or whatever? No, no, no. So then there was like a Kohl's or some kind of bookstore in the place. Let's go get Bibles. So they hauled them all off, bought them Bibles, and the one guy was saying, oh, man, I guess this will be recorded, but he was saying, you know, we normally go around to drug dealers and we like steal from them, we rob them. That's what we do. Like, so are we not going to be able to do this anymore? You know, it was just like, wow, we accepted Jesus. Now, what does it mean to our heart? What does it mean to our life? You know, and there was something like, no, man, you know, whatever. So they had some words and conversation in that moment about how you're going to be living for Christ, you know, and reading the Bible and stuff like that. And so it was just, that was just one of many, many, many moments that different people had throughout the 2 weeks that we were there. As people encountered the power of God and the love of God. And, you know, after every salvation, it's like, okay, put up your hands. Didn't matter where you were. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come, you know? And so let's pray. And so they just began to say, come, Holy Spirit, and stuff. And then some of them were like, and then it was like, are you feeling anything? Yeah. They were like, whoa, I feel tingling. I feel this. I feel that. You know, it's like, that's the Spirit of God, man. You know, he's on you and he's filling you now because Jesus has cleansed your sin, and he made a place for the Spirit to come. And so, yeah, it was just incredible times of outreach that resulted from our times of consecration almost before the Lord. We would spend any spare time that we had, we were like, you know, and of course I didn't have my family there, and there was a lot of singles, and there was a couple of people, they had little kids, you know, running around and whatever, well, which was fun. But whenever we had spare time, there was a house of prayer. There's this, I don't know how much you guys know about IHOP, but they have this room where they dedicated and they have worship people there 24/7. Anytime you go there, day or night, any day of the week, there's always people worshiping the Lord and praying and interceding. You can even pick it up on a web stream here in Canada if you want. And so in our downtime, we're like, oh, I feel tired, whatever, what do you want to do? Oh, let's go to the prayer room. You know, it was always like, yeah, let's go. So we would just go in there for half hour, hour, 2 hours, and we would just bring our Bible and we would just soak, you know, in as the word of God was sung, sometimes whole passages of the word were just sung out as we would intercede, as our heart would engage. And so it was just an incredible time. of being there. And so at the end of our time, they tallied up. There was about 250 salvations in only 4 outreaches that we did as teams, and 150 miracles that were logged as to people that said that, yes, it feels considerably better or completely better or whatever. Even a guy that had, they saw walking on the street that had a bandage, a pressure bandage on his legs, and that, these youth, 20-year-olds or an 18-year-old, they ran up to him and said, "Hey, man, can we pray for you? We love Jesus, and we believe that he can touch your body right now and reveal his love to you, and stuff like that." And, and so he goes, "Sure." And so I don't remember if he sat down or just stood, but he rolled down his bandage and stuff, and then they prayed for it. And he just, it was like moving his leg, and they just saw like a manifestation of the Spirit touching his leg and stuff. And they were like, "Whoa, this is so awesome." And so they said, "Kind of feel better." He goes, "Well, I got to go to my doctor because he has to assess my pressure and leg or whatever." And so they were like, "Wow, cool," and then they presented the gospel to him as well. And I don't remember. There was lots of testimonies if he received, but most people that were touched by God, yes, 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 yes. They said yes to Jesus. And even others that didn't need healing, that just as you spoke, they would just say, "Yeah, I'm ready, I'm here." Or some were like prodigals coming back to the Lord, recommitting their lives and saying, "Oh yeah, I've been out of the church and whatever, and let today be the day I come back into fellowship with God." And so it was just all levels during those times that we were there. And so, George is highlighting. And so I got back the Saturday night, Sunday. We went to go buy shoes at the cool little skater shop here, 50% off last Sunday. And there was a guy, a staff that I just began to talk about, the store and the shoes and all of this stuff. And I just felt Lord say, "Tell him about Jesus, man. Tell him about me." And so I just started to talk to him about Jesus and if he had ever encountered God's love. And he had said no. And I said, "Well, he's real, and he presented a simple gospel quick." I said, "Would you want to receive that?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "Really?" I said, "Okay. I didn't want to just say, 'Okay, pray later.'" And so I'm like, and then my mind, it suddenly went, "Oh, see if he can go on break now, And so he goes, "Yeah, let me ask the boss." So we went over to the boss, and he comes back, "Oh, yeah, I can go on break." So we went outside, and right on the corner of Portage, we just prayed for repentance, to come into his heart and for Jesus to be his Lord. And it was an awesome moment right there. And so, it doesn't just work in Kansas. It's here too, all around. And it's just waiting for us to be able to engage with the Lord, who is always, it's like, at times we feel like, "Oh, we got to go, they don't know God, God's not near them, God's not anything, and we need to go to them." But it's like, God is already there. God is already with people. He's with the lost, he's with the drunkard, he's with the people, wherever they're at, in their money or their depravity, he's already with them. And he's calling us over and saying, "Come, come." There's words of life. There's the word of God. There's the truth of the gospel, which is the power of God. And there's a verse that says, 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I think so often when we're talking to people, we're wanting, like, they're not going to accept this thing because it doesn't really make sense. It's not like a, something like, "Hey man, have you tried this software or program or exercise?" And there's just that wisdom in that, a natural wisdom. But the Bible talks about the gospel being foolishness. And so expect it to sound like foolishness when you're speaking it, and yet it's so true and it's so real, and that it's able to impact people's hearts. They might reject, but there were some stories where the same person was hit 4 times because they were in that community or whatever, or in that park or the mall. And on the 4th time, he said, "All right, I've already had 3 people come, and I think like God is talking to me." And then boom, he said, "Let's go." And so then everybody went, "Really, really? Yeah, we talked to him. Who got to bring him in?" And so it was just all sorts of things in a small moment of time that in our lives, over days or weeks or months, as God has us speak, you know, the person we're speaking to, like this kid I spoke to, it wasn't the first time he'd ever been in church and all of that. Just he had been in church, he had never connected with the Lord in all his time. And so he's just saying, yeah, I really want to connect with God. I want to know him. And so it's like, boom, we engage personal. It's that personal moment having with people, you know, from our walks of life and where we go and what we do. I saw Tenny with her hand up. So, okay, people are bringing up stuff. I don't know. Do you want to share it? No, I share it. I took the kids to the doctor on Wednesday after school. I mean, after, whatever, at the end of the day. And it felt like after school. And as we got back into the car, I saw this guy with this other lady who had like a strap-on brace on her leg with a crutch going down the street, you know, and just felt like God said, go pray for them. And I'm like, oh, you know, there's still sometimes that hem and haw, like, oh, you know. It's like you just finished, you're about ready to go back, and you're like, and you just kind of breathe a few times and go, all right. You know, it's like, kids, hold on. You know, went and ran after them. They weren't going that fast because they were hobbling. But, and said, you know, hey, man, you know, I'm one that loves Jesus, and I know that, you know, God loves everybody, and he'd love to reveal his love for you. And do you think that I would be able to pray for this guy's wife's leg? Do you think I could pray for your leg? And so she's like, they were kind of looking at each other, and I say, man, I say, God just really wants to bless you. I just want to release his love on you, you know, kind of thing. And they're like, all right, you know, you can pray. And I'm not sure if I had said anything as a testimony to even increase their faith and just said, hey, I was just with a bunch of people in the U.S. We prayed for a whole ton of people, and a lot of people got healed instantly. It was incredible. And they were like, oh, you know, I almost think I said that first. I don't remember. But then, so I said, you know, can I touch your leg? Yes, you know, so I bent down right on Portage, again, something about Portage Avenue, and touched her leg, you know, and just began to pray and just say, God bless and heal and pain be gone and all this fun stuff. And so then I got up, you know, and, you know, I'd prayed for a lot of people before, and they would always like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's kind of the same, whatever, you know. But she was like, and she put pressure on it, and she was like, whoa, whoa, and her eyes just went big, you know, her face was kind of, you know, sullen. She was like, it feels a lot better. I go, like, what do you mean? And then her husband's all like, what, what's going on? And I said, for real? Like, something like that, I don't know. I said, you know, it's really better. I said, that's awesome. I said, God loves you so much. And so then I said, so on a scale of 1 to 10, what was the pain? And she said about a 70 before. I said, where is that at now? And she goes, well, it's like way down to a 30 or something. It's like, I just barely feel it. It's not nearly that tension that was there. And I said, whoa, that's so awesome. And I said, well, you know, I said, God, he's releasing, he's revealing his love to you right here in this moment in what's taking place. And would you like even more of his love? Would you like to accept Jesus? And I just gave the simple gospel quickly. Would you like to just have all of God's goodness and love come into your life? And they go, and the man, I think, said yes first. And then she goes, yeah. And then their daughter was there. She showed up, 15-year-old or something, 14, I think she was. And she was just kind of standing there. And so then I said, okay, would you like me to pray? You know, I can pray and you guys can repeat. So went through the sinner's prayer and stuff and committed their life to the Lord, asked for the Spirit to come. And then when we were finished, then I asked each of them, okay, did you pray? Did you pray? And then the daughter, she gave me that Lisbeth kind of nod, you know, not yes, but I go, oh, you prayed too? It's just like, wow, I said, this is so awesome. So, you know, where are you guys from? They said, oh, we're flying back up north tomorrow. We're just here for a quick turnaround, and we're gone tomorrow. And I went, whoa, so I got the guy's phone number and stuff. And then I went away with the kids, and then I just felt, man, you know, we should have believed, for to even take that leg brace off and just see how really healed, because she still walked funny because her leg was all locked up in the brace. So then I drove back around, and then I had them meet my kids and just say, hey, you know, here we are. And they're all excited, you know, at this point, because it was really, they had walked a few blocks by this time, and it was still really better. And so then I said, you know, do you think we could take it off? Whatever. And the daughter was in a real hurry to go somewhere. And so then I said, all right, when you get back to the hotel room, just take it off and get up and see how much, you know, is of the freedom do you have, strength do you have. And she said, yes, I will, I will. So I just released them in with God's blessing. And so, yeah, it was amazing and awesome moments in the last week that took place. And I've just been sharing to other people at Staples or wherever I am about God's love and his desire to save them and redeem them. And there's such an authority within us that God desires to release. There's such power in the gospel that we live in that God desires to release. And it's to begin to speak. Because it's something from the power of God. It's not our great ability. It's not our wisdom. It's not our, oh, you know, I got to be a great orator or whatever. You have official evangelists, but then the 99% of us, we're all disciples who testify of the goodness of God. We all have that opportunity. We all have that even commandment from the Lord, you know, in a few places where God says, you know, I'm sending you to go. Authority's been given me, now go. You know, take dominion in the earth, begin to bring a shift in your household, bring a shift in your community, bring a shift in your workplace, in your city, and in your nation. You know, and God desires to raise us up to a passion and a level of where our eyes are open to just see how able God is able to do stuff in and through us here in this community of believers. I'll just ask for, in closing, for just two people to look up Luke 4:18. And if there really wants to be three, well, you can look it up too then. At least two or three. Just before we go into that, you know, just want to find out, you know, is there anybody here, you know, whether young or old, that hasn't given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he died for you so that your sins could be forgiven, that you could receive his forgiveness. And he arose again so that you could have eternal life and an abundant life in this day and in this age. Is there anyone here that hasn't come to him and said, I want you to be Lord over my life. I want your control to be over my life. Is there anyone here in this place? I just want to give the opportunity if there's anyone here. Yes? Awesome. Excuse me? Okay, so you'd like to recommit that commitment? Okay. All right, I'll pray a prayer and then you can repeat after me, is that fine? And then we can all do this together. We can all recommit, I think, in our lives in different levels. Sometimes every day I need to just go, oh, Lord, yes, more of you. And so, what's your name, by the way? Cool. Hallelujah. Jesus? Yes, you guys can repeat after me. Jesus? I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that it was with passion that you came down to this earth. It was because of your love for us. And it was that same love that took you to the cross, that held you on that cross. And you took my sin upon you. And you died. And 3 days later, you rose again with great power, with great victory, with great celebration, releasing life into everyone that believes. And so we confess today, our hearts have gone astray from your love. We commit afresh to loving you. We receive, Lord Jesus, your forgiveness as we come back We receive your embrace. Thank you, Jesus. I rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus, his deception, his lies, his perversions, his distortions over my life. And I say, no more, devil. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have given me life and life abundant, life in the Spirit. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Let me encounter you and have a heart that burns for you as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoa, that's so awesome. That is totally cool. Whew. All right, where are those three people that had found that scripture? What I would like you to do, not just finding the scripture, but stand up and three people. Can I have three people stand up? And that found that scripture, one, two, someone from this group. Come on, who's on this group? Who's on this side? Sure. Okay. Just one after the other, I want you to speak that out with authority and with some unction, some gumption. Speak out that verse, Luke 4:18. Okay, so Krishna, I'll have you go first. Yeah, right up to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Awesome. Amen. Sherry? Come back. I don't know if we're still recording, but get at least some of this on the mic.
I love the scripture. It has history. Last summer for several months, the Lord woke me up every day with the scripture in my heart. So, it holds weight for me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Hallelujah. Yes. And so, you know, I encourage each of you as you go home, if you're in the park later or having a nice Sergeant Sunday or something, to be able to remember this verse, even find this verse, to be able to proclaim that over your life, over your family, over your destiny, your days on this earth, that God has anointed you and released you to be one who walks in his goodness and his love and gives it away. So, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for our time with you, our encounter with you. It's been awesome. It's been fun. May the rest of the day only get better. We just bless you and give you praise. Amen.